We're going to read through the Easter story from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, and I'm actually taking it from the Voice paraphrase of the Bible. Scripture says, "After the Sabbath, as the light of the next day, the first day of the week, crept over Palestine, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb to keep vigil. Earlier, there'd been an earthquake. A messenger of the Lord had come down from heaven and had gone to the grave. He rolled away the stone and sat down on top of it. He glowed. He was vibrating with light. His clothes were light, were white like transfiguration, like fresh snow. The soldiers guarding the tomb were terrified. They froze like stone. The messenger spoke to the woman, to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, 'Don't be afraid. I know you're here keeping watch for Jesus who was crucified. But Jesus is not here. He was raised just as he said he would be. Come over to the grave and see for yourself, and then go straight to the disciples and tell them he's been raised from the dead and has gone on to Galilee. You'll find him there. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you.' The women were both thrilled and terrified. They quickly left the tomb and went to find the disciples and give them this outstandingly good news. The empty tomb is what we celebrate on Easter Day. The promise of the empty tomb. What is the promise of the empty tomb? The promise of the empty tomb rips the rug from under your feet and says, hold on tight. We're going for a ride into the deep unknown. The promise of the empty tomb says the story doesn't end the way you think it will. Yes, your future is set in stone, but I carved it and it's beautiful. The promise of the empty tomb says you are worth so much more than you think you are. You are to die for. And I did. The promise of the empty tomb drives nails through darkness and says, trust me, I have a plan. And it is good. The promise of the empty tomb rolls back the stone. It dances on death. It says, why are you crying? Don't you know me? Paul. I saw him. Do come through. I knew you were there. You were just trying to tease me.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is absolutely lovely to see you all. My name's Paul, and I'm one of the ministers here, and I've just changed clothes quicker than I ever have in my entire life. Most people think that going to church is something that you do to get close to God. But in Jesus' time, in the temple in Jerusalem, which was where Jesus often hung out, it was a massive, imposing, beautiful building, but built right into the heart of the temple, included as a fundamental part of the design of that temple, was a reminder that you can't get close to God. The innermost part of the temple was called the Holy of Holies, and God lived there in a special way. And it was off limits. You weren't allowed in. You wouldn't go where God was, or you would die. It would be too much for you. And separating the Holy of Holies from the next sort of inmost area was a curtain. to remind everyone who saw it that you cannot get close to God. And when I say a curtain, don't think of the flappy little thing that you've got at home in front of your window, or the flappy little thing that I've got behind me here. This curtain was 4 inches thick. It would have weighed a ton, quite literally. It wasn't an IKEA drapery, it was a barrier. And it represented all of those things that come between people like you and I and God. And you can probably think of some of the things it represented, and I'm going to get you to suggest some things. So please don't be shy, please don't sit back and be quiet, because otherwise this is going to be a really, really long talk. What are some of the things that might come between us and God? What are some of the things that we might do or think or say that might cause a barrier or add to that barrier between us and God? Phone. Somebody starts us off. What was that?
Phone.
Phone?
Phone.
Do you know what? In this day and age, I'm going to go with that. Yes, your phone could, depending what you do with it, be a barrier between you and God. Thankfully, we had a few of these lying around. So I'm going to start us off with phone. Depending how you use it. Any other suggestions?
Fear.
Fear. Good one. Anything else?
Phone.
We've had phone, but thank you.
Pride.
Great idea. Or terrible idea, depending how you look at it, but you know what I mean. Yes. So?
Social class.
Social class? You're just making my life difficult. And all the prejudice that goes with that. Yeah, somebody over here said
doubts.
Doubts? Yep. Yeah, right at the back.
Busyness.
Busyness. Yep. And when our busyness stops us spending time with God. How about any of the things that we do wrong that come between us and God? Yes.
Envy.
Envy. Good one. And I can spell it as well. Let's have one or two more. Yeah.
The past.
Oh, yeah, no, that's deep. The past in so many different ways. Yes. Those things that we can't let go of and forgive other people for, those things that we can't let go of and forgive ourselves for. Yes, there's a hand up over here. Sorry?
The laptop.
The laptop, like the phone. Yeah, I'll add that with the phone. Thank you. Depending what we use our laptops for. Is this asphyxiating you all, or is this all right? Yeah.
Ignorance.
Ignorance, okay. I may have just painted the strings on the Jesus board. Oh well. Yeah.
Theft.
Theft. That's the sort of thing I was expecting to hear. I was actually waiting for somebody to say graffiti, but it hasn't happened yet. Go on.
Judgment.
Judgment. Yes, being judgmental. Jesus had a lot to say about that, didn't he? Excuse my poor handwriting. I'll take one more. Who's not said anything? Yes, yes.
Unforgiveness.
Nice long one up and right across here. There we go. What a work of art. I'm so proud of that. I'm going to sign it. Brill, thank you for your We could go on, couldn't we? We could be here all morning just adding more things to that. But all this stuff is stuff that makes God sad. It's stuff that separates us from him. It's stuff that prevents us from getting close to God. And when we see it written out, and we could have added so many other words, so many different kinds, if you like, so many sins that we fall into that we could have added to that. And I think when you see it written up like that, it provokes an emotional response. For some of us, it probably makes us feel a little bit guilty as we look at that and think, oh yeah, I do some of that stuff. And some of the other stuff that we haven't written up here because it's an all-age service and we're not going to say it out loud, but there's all sorts of things that we could have written up there. Or for some people, it provokes quite a different emotional response. And for some people, it makes you cross. There you Christians go again, talking about sin. You think you're so much better than everyone else. Honestly, I think I'm so much worse than everyone else. That's why I need this stuff. But this is an Easter service, so let's get back to that. And Astrid's going to read you a few words. I think while I was out of the room, you heard some words from the resurrection of Jesus, didn't you? Is that right? We're going to go back in time a little bit, and you're going to hear a few words from Matthew 27. And we're joining Jesus as he's on the cross and dying on the cross. Astrid.
From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all of the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those standing there heard this. They said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Christians are Easter people. We're not people that have got it all together. We're not people that have got it all right. We're people who know that our lives are in a mess. We're not people who put ourselves on a pedestal and say, "Hey God, look at me. Look how righteous I am." We're people who know that we come before God bruised and broken and with our names firmly written on the curtain that separates us from God. But we're people who know that God ripped the curtain in two. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, like God reached down and said, "We don't need this anymore." And so what Jesus did made it possible for each one of us to be brought close to God. It's what we call grace. God's completely undeserved gift to each one of us. And to Judith and to Nathaniel, and that's what today's been all about in some ways. It's celebrating what God has done for Judith and Nathaniel and what God has done for you and for me. We sung earlier, "The cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own." And you, if you want it. And so the guilt has gone and the shame has gone and the barrier has gone and we are invited in to be close to God. But it's like any other invitation. You have to accept it. In John's Gospel, it says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be or to become children of God. Everyone is invited to be forgiven. Everyone is invited to be a child of God. Everyone is invited to step through the ripped curtain that separates us from God. Everyone is invited to benefit from what Jesus did on the cross and when he rose from the dead 2 days later, that first Easter morning. But it's not automatic. It's not automatic. You have to choose to receive him. Just like Judith did, and just like Nathaniel did. And they, at some point in the past, you heard it in their story earlier on, both of them came to a point where they made a decision to accept that invitation. May this Easter be the time that you discover that God is just a curtain's breadth away and that you take up his offer to step through. Let's pray. I'm going to lead us in prayer for a moment. Please bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you want to make that decision, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do so as I lead us in prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer that is basically accepting that invitation, and if you want to make that your prayer, then I'm going to invite you to say amen at the end. Lord, I thank you that you made me, and you love me, and you know me. And I confess that my name is written on that barrier that separates me from you because I am a sinner. But thank you that Jesus died for me. Thank you that the curtain has been torn in two. And today I choose, whether it's for the first time or for the 100th time, I choose to step through, to receive Jesus and to believe in his name and to become or to be a child of God. Please fill me with your spirit and enable me to walk with you every day. Amen. But please keep your eyes closed. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time and accepted that invitation from Jesus, would you just put your hand up? Nobody's looking except me, but would you just put your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, pop your hands down again. If that is you, please come and have a chat with Astrid or I after the service. We'd just love to talk to you about that. But I want to, I wasn't particularly planning to do this, but I want to give one other opportunity. If, as you've seen what's happened today, with everyone sitting with their eyes closed, if you've seen what's happened today and you felt that God has been prompting you to get baptised at the next opportunity, then would you just pop your hand up in the air? Thank you. That's fantastic. Again, please come and have a chat with us after the service. Stop looking, Nathaniel, I saw that.